Wow. I'm not used to this, so if I kind of back off a little bit, I'm sorry. If we were in Kazakhstan right now, and we were in our apartment, and I was about to do this, I would say this to you because you're all new. I would say, welcome to our home. We're going to be studying today. I am not here to convert you. I am not here to provide any religious teaching. So if you get anything spiritual from this, I'm sorry. It's not my fault. Okay? I am only going to do a study here from biblical literature. I'm going to tell you what the author has written for us to understand. Because every author writes something with the intent of it being understood. He has certain points that he's trying to convey to the reader or the listener. If you want spiritual training, then you must go to someone who can provide that. I am not here to provide that. I'm not here to convert you. But if you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'll be very happy. So, Acts chapter 15. Now, as I said, if we were there in Kazakhstan, I'd be telling you the different types of teachings that we could be doing. I could be doing expositorial, which is to take some passages from Scripture and go through and explain them. Or I can do textual, go through and explain every single word. Or I could do topical study, where we would take a certain topic and we would study about it. So tonight we're going to do a character study about the man named Silas. Now, you may think it's kind of strange, but I don't think so, because I think every person in the Bible has a story. Every person in the Bible has their name there for a reason. And I think the reason why Silas has his name there is because he was a servant. He was a faithful servant. And he had a servant's heart. So Acts chapter 15, verse number 22. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. Now, in the beginning of this chapter, we see that there was a problem at the church of Antioch. Now, it wasn't because of the people of Antioch. It was because of people coming into the church of Antioch. And they came in teaching Old Testament law, saying that in order to really be saved, you have to follow the law of Moses. You have to be circumcised. You have to worship on the Sabbath. These were the things that they were teaching them. Now, the church of Antioch was a young church. And they probably thought, you know, these guys are coming from Jerusalem. They probably know things that we don't know. So let's think about this. But then Paul and Barnabas come back from their first missionary journey, and they start talking to them about this. And Paul was very adamant, saying, no, we don't have to do that. We're under the new covenant, the New Testament. We are saved by grace, and only by grace. But they said, you know, we still want to have some clarification. So they sent Paul and Barnabas to Jerusalem. And while they were there, you can read the whole event of what happened is, they got into some heated discussions about this. But in the end, the Holy Spirit prevailed. And they came back saying, it is only by grace are we saved through faith. Not by works, not by observing the law of Moses. Now, if they want to study the law of Moses, they can, because every Sabbath, the Jews are still studying the Old Testament. But it's not a requirement. Now, they also decided, well, we don't want to just send Barnabas and Paul back. Let's send some men from our church with them to confirm what we're saying. And so they chose out two men. And when we look at the two men, we're going to see that there were some very interesting things about these two men that they chose out. We'll see several things. They were servants that were chosen. Secondly, they were chief amongst the other men there. Now, when I use the word chief there, it doesn't mean that they were the boss. It means they were reliable. They were trustworthy. They had established a testimony of being good men. Then we're also going to see that they were commissioned. That later they were commissioned and that they continued faithfully and they did not complain. And finally, God compensated them for their faithfulness. We are to be servants of God. Everyone. Not leaders, servants. And there's a big difference between a leader and a servant. A servant obeys his master. A leader gets people to follow them. But if we're going to be servants, we're to be servants, then we need to be useful to God. We need to be faithful and in a place where God can use us, the local church. Heavenly Father, as we continue tonight, help us, Lord, to see from your word things that are important for us to learn, things that we need to apply to our lives, things that will help us, Lord, to serve you better, to help us to remember that we are nothing more than servants. We have a great privilege to serve you, Lord, and to do the things you've commanded us to do. Help us to do it with a willing heart, a giving heart, and a praying heart. Guide and direct us, we pray tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. First, we see that the two men, Silas and Judas, Barnabas, were chosen. In Acts chapter 15, verse 22, we already saw that. Then it pleased it the apostles and the elders with the whole church to send chosen men. They were chosen. They did not simply just stand up and volunteer. They were chosen. There's one thing that I really don't like is self-appointed people. Now, there's somebody, I'm not going to say who, it's about this tall. He's a billionaire. He thinks he should be president, and he's appointing himself to be president. Okay? You know his name. But people who stand up and purposely put themselves in places of leadership when they have no qualification is not very good. It always leads to disaster. And the same thing is true in a local church. But these men, Silas and Judas, were chosen from their own brethren. They were chosen because they were mature. They had experience. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, chapter 3, verse 6. Yes, I know where my Bible is. I just trying to. I usually just use my iPad when I do this, so I'm. Chapter 3, verse number 6. Now, a person in the church should not be a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into condemnation of the devil. So these men, they were mature. The apostles and elders chose from the brethren, people who are mature in Christ, people who knew, who had experience. And this is something that's always fascinated me, that God always chooses the right people. When God sent Samuel to pick the next king, he saw all the wrong things, didn't he? Oh, he saw, oh, he was tall, oh yeah, this one. And it wasn't until that little boy who was out watching the sheep came in and God said, that's him. God never makes a mistake when he chooses someone. Never. We may not think we have the ability, we may not think we have the talent, but that's the reason why God chooses us. That's the reason why God chooses you. It's not because of your ability and talent. Those things can be borrowed from someone else. But the thing that can't be borrowed is a humble heart, a teachable spirit. And I think that's why God chose Silas and Barnabas. I mean, Silas and Barsabbas or Judas, but they were chosen and they went out. And it also says in the same verse that they were chief. And as I explained earlier, that idea was that they were reliable. They did the work themselves. In that local church, they were serving in that local church. They just didn't simply say, okay, you go do this, you go do that, I'm in charge here, you go do... No, they saw something that needed to be done, and they did it. That's the difference between a servant mentally and a servant in the heart. A person that's a servant in his heart doesn't need to be told what to do. They see it, they do it. They don't wait to be asked. If you're waiting to be asked to do something, you're not a servant. You want the attention. But these men, they did what was required. They didn't have to be told what to do. And so they were ready. They responded. They were different, and they stood out in this church. Okay? Not for their own glory, but to lift up and magnify the Lord. I think of Naaman. You read 2 Kings chapter 5 about Naaman. What are some of the qualities that about Naaman that really stand out if you stop and you look at it again? Let's go there quick. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse number 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable. Because of him, the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. And he was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Everything there that talks about Naaman was nothing that he aspired for himself. But it says here, he was a great man with his master. His master respected him. His master knew his value. And then it goes on to say, and he was honorable. He was an honest man. He was honest. Honesty is something that's in great demand nowadays, isn't it? And you and I always need to be honest. And honesty is more important, ready for this, than our culture, than our traditions. As we were talking with Brother Jim tonight about this dear sister in Kazakhstan, her name is Momora. She is so sweet. She is such a sweet lady. You know? She got married, and she married a pastor there, and instantly, people were coming over and spending nights in their house. His friends would come over and spend the night, and they hadn't even been married 1 year, and already they have guests living in their house. Because it's their tradition, it's their custom, that if somebody comes to your home, you let them come in. You provide for them. And this dear sister, she was just like, I don't know what to do about this. Even if she went to visit her family back in Uzbekistan, she would first have to go to his family. And she would have to basically submit to them. And it's traditional that they would work her. They'd put her to work. And then they would say, okay, now you can go visit your family. Because that was their culture. But we have to remember, biblical principles override tradition, culture. And honesty is the same thing. This is one of the things I struggled with when we were in Honduras, because many times people would say things just to make you happy, just so that you would not be upset. They would lie to you. But then later, how can I ever trust you again? Is the American way of thinking, right? Actually, it's biblical. This is why we have to understand. Biblical principles come before culture, tradition, customs. And these men understood that. They were faithful. They were just like Naaman. They put Naaman put his master first. He put his service to his king first. And what a great man he was. Great with his master. Honorable. And God even used Naaman to take the truth back to Syria. So we see there that first they were chosen. They were chief men. They were also commissioned. Now this, we go over here and later in Acts. Now, in chapter 15, verse number 23, let's go back to that real quick, I'm sorry. Verse number 23. And they wrote letters by them after the manner the apostles and the elders and brothers send greeting in unto the brethren which were in of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Sicily. I'm sorry, my timing is really off right now. And I'm just... I'm so sorry. I usually have a cup of coffee with me when I'm in Kazakhstan. But... okay. So we see here that Silas and Judas were commissioned by their local church to go with Paul and Barnabas. So they went and they endured hardships along the way. Now, the church of Jerusalem recognized that Paul and Barnabas had endured. They recognized them, that they had some authority from the church of Antioch. And so they sent them back with them, and that they were truthful and faithful servants. Active servants of the Lord will always face hardships. I'm sorry if I sound... True servants are always going to face hardships. Let me just put it that way. Look at what Paul and Silas endured when they were on the field. Right? They always face hardships. We always, and we, the hardships that we, my wife and I face in Kazakhstan, is probably really nothing compared to what Brother Tim is going to face up in New York. We have no fear of crime in Almaty, the city of Almaty. There's hardly any crime. But in New York, there's a lot of crime. There's probably more crime happening in Kings Mountain than there is in the whole city of Almaty. But we always face hardship. And sometimes we endure hardships for our own benefit, don't we? An athlete will endure hardship to gain a title, to gain a position, to get a big contract, right? He'll face hardship. He'll go out and work hard for it. Artists for their fame. Many people will face hardships for things that won't matter. But when we face hardship, it's important that we have the right attitude. Because it's not us. It's not always about us. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. Hardships for the servant of God is always worth the sacrifice. It's a privilege for us to suffer hardship for the Lord. The harder we, I mean, it's kind of like this illustration I was told. You drink a Coke that somebody else pays for, it tastes pretty good. But when you go out and work, and you're out there sweating, and you reach in your pocket, and you have just enough money to get a Coca-Cola, or a bottle of water, or in my case, a cup of coffee, it tastes so much better. Doesn't it? And so, when we suffer hardships for the Lord Jesus Christ, It's a privilege. It's sweet. Now, while Silas was there, he was also, when he finally got there to the church of Antioch, and they confirmed all the things that Paul and Barnabas said, he continued there. He stayed. And while he was there, he was encouraging the believers, he was comforting those, he was giving instruction. He was confirming those brothers and sisters in the faith. He just didn't decide, okay, my job here is done. I've done what my local church wanted me to do. Now it's time for me to go. No, he stayed there because he saw that there was a need. How many times have we stopped short simply because that's what we thought that was all we were supposed to do? The things that are happening to my wife and I right now, it could be very easy for us to say, okay, we're done, we're quitting, we're going back home. But no, there's still something else for us to do. Because if they say, you're out of here, you're gone, okay. People ask us, how long are you going to stay here? So, until they kick us out. Or the creek rises, or the Chinese invade. We're staying right here. Because they want to know, are you just going to be here just for a little while and then leave us? Say, no, we're going to stay here for the duration. Now, have they kicked us out? No, but they're making it hard for us to stay. But they haven't kicked us out. Is this really difficult? Yeah, it's difficult, but it's not painful. We can still pray. We can still be that living example that those people have never seen before. Someone asked me one time, what do you do there? Now, I'm going to answer that. My wife's going to cringe when I say this, but I say, I take out trash. And they look at me, what do you mean take out trash? See, we live in a 5-story building. Now, the law in Kazakhstan is, if the building has 6 floors, it must have an elevator. We live in a building that only has 5 floors, and we live on the 5th floor. We live in the same apartment that our son Jua lived in when he was there. And so every morning when I get up and I'm going to go out, I go downstairs and people leave their trash outside their door. And so I pick it up and I take it to the trash. And I do it the next day if it's out there again. And I'll do it later in the evening if they put more out. I take out trash. Because I have to be different than them. I am different. I'm a child of God. And we use this term back in the 70s and the 80s and then a little bit in the 90s, I think, was the term lifestyle evangelism. Now, the truth of the matter is, we should all be doing lifestyle evangelism. Every day of your life should be evangelism. But of course, when they said it back then, that was just so they wouldn't have to go out on visitation on Saturdays. Right? But that's what I'm doing. Because that's what I can do. I can't pass out tracts, but I can take out trash. So when they stop me next time and say, why are you doing this? I'm doing this because I'm a Christian. And I have a chance to serve. Will I get a medal for it? No. I don't need one. I just need the privilege of serving God. And that's what we all should have, is that privilege of serving God. And can take that. Let me close with this. 2 quick points. Acts chapter 16, verse number 25. We notice that all during this time, Silas never complained when he was serving God, when he was with Paul. He never complained. Now, he was a Roman citizen. just like Paul. He could have said, "How dare you put me in this prison? I'm a Roman citizen." But he didn't complain. And in chapter 16, verse number 25, "And at midnight," now they were in jail there in Philippi, "and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." Could he have claimed his Roman citizenship? Yep, he sure could have. But then a Philippian jailer never would have gotten saved. The things that happen to us, we have no right to complain. Now, that doesn't mean we behave silly about it. "Hey, look at me, I'm suffering for God. Ha ha ha." No. We have to be humble. And we have to endure hardship. Don't complain. Just be faithful. Finally, God compensates his servants. He always does. You know, I'm going to say something, and I know some of the ladies are probably going to cringe when I say this, but we really don't need to save God money. Okay? We don't have to try to figure out how to save God's money. We need to use God's money wisely. We need to be good, faithful stewards of what God gives us. But we don't always have to try to find a bargain. We just need to do what God tells us to do and leave the bookkeeping to Him. Because He's always going to reward us. He always does. He's always promised. How many times is the name Silas or Salvinus, which is the same person, mentioned in Scripture? Now we know that all Scripture is God-breathed. It's inspired by God. It's forever, every jot, every tittle. How many times is his name mentioned in Scripture? 17 times. God mentions his name in Scripture. I can't think of a better reward for God to use your name 17 times. And his eternal word? Wow. I don't think Silas had a hearing problem when he stepped into heaven. I'm sure he heard, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." He probably heard it 17 times. But that's amazing. Silas should be an excellent example for all of us. God's servants are around us everywhere, serving. In local churches, under the authority of their pastor. We should remember that. And we should submit our hearts to that and be ready and always ready to serve when God calls to serve. Will you be ready? In order to be ready, you need to be faithful to your local church. And you need to be here so that God can use you. Thank you, dear Lord, for tonight. I'm sorry that I could not do this justice, but Lord, use what has been said to touch hearts, to stir hearts, Lord, to do great and mighty things for the cause of Christ here in Kings Mountain. And not only in Kings Mountain, but in North Carolina and throughout America and around the world. We already know that Emmanuel Baptist Church has a global reach already. And we're thankful for that and ask that you would continue to use the people here to do great and mighty things for the cause of Christ. And we will give you all the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.